KJAN Sports.
It's time for a look at sports. Good morning. I'm Jim Field. Take a look at high school volleyball today. The Girls State Volleyball Championships will get underway up at Cedar Rapids today. They'll start with the two larger classes. Class 5A state quarterfinals get underway at noon today. There are two matches scheduled at noon. It's Cedar Falls versus Waukee and Iowa City Liberty facing Pleasant Valley. The 2 o'clock matches in Class 5A have Council Bluffs' Abraham Lincoln facing off against Ankeny and West Des Moines Valley facing Dowling Catholic. Those matches at 2 o'clock this afternoon. Then later on, they'll go into the 4A state quarterfinals this afternoon and this evening. As at 4 o'clock, the matches include Glenwood facing off against Sergeant Bluff Luton and Western Dubuque playing Cedar Rapids Xavier. The 6 o'clock matches include Waverly Shellrock versus West Delaware, North Scott facing Marion. And that action going on up in Cedar Rapids in first round play. The other classes will have their quarterfinal round action coming up tomorrow. On college men's basketball, DePaul jumped on Iowa for a 13-0 lead at the outset, and the outcome was never in doubt in a 93-78 win in Iowa City in the Gavitt tip-off games. That was a contest heard here on KJAN last night. The Blue Demons were unconscious from the floor. They shot 62%, led by as many as 25 points. Iowa coach Fran McCaffrey felt the Hawkeyes panicked after the rough start.
You know, when you get behind, you can't quick shoot the ball. You got to keep them on defense. You got to get the ball moving side to side. You got to drive the ball and jump stop when they help up. And we were coming one pass shot, put our heads down and go, and it just kept making it worse. You know, and that's what, you know, inexperienced teams do. That's what teams sometimes do on the road. That shouldn't happen at home, and it shouldn't happen with experienced guys.
DePaul dominated every phase of the game as they moved to 4-0.
What we have to do is collectively take responsibility, players and coaches. It's not so-and-so's fault. It's not anybody's fault. We turned it over 19 times. We gave 11 threes. We got out-rebounded. You're not winning that game.
Iowa falls to 1-1 with that loss.
We have to take collective responsibility, and then we have to take collectively figure out how we're going to get better. We've got to be better on a consistent basis defensively. We've got to be able to stick to the game plan if we fall behind. And we've got to be tougher on the glass. It's got to be to a man.
Next up for the Hawks will be a non-conference tilt against Oral Roberts. That's on Friday night. We'll have that game for you here on KJAM with a 6 o'clock pregame. 7 o'clock is tip time from Carver Hawkeye Arena. Well, John Brannan's first win at Cincinnati was no big deal. The Bearcats had a low-key celebration in the locker room after their 81-59 victory over Drake Monday night that displayed their new up-tempo offense under their first-year head coach. Center Chris Vogt said, "We clapped it up. That's about it. Nothing too crazy." It's how Brannan wanted after his first win in the Bearcats arena. Against Drake, they made the most of a wide-open style installed by Brannan, who came from Northern Kentucky. Brannan replaced Mick Cronin, a defense-oriented coach who went to UCLA after a first-round loss in the NCAA tournament. Drake relies on threes but couldn't find any open ones. The Bulldogs matched their school record with 17 threes in an 86-55 win over Kennesaw State, but they went only 4 of 19 against Cincinnati last night. Liam Robbins led the Bulldogs with 12 points and 7 rebounds. Drake has been one of the nation's most prolific three-point shooting teams the last few seasons, which was the focus of Cincinnati's man-to-man defense. DJ Wilkins hit an open three from the corner to start the game, but Cincinnati clamped down, and the Bulldogs missed 8 of their next 9 shots from beyond the arc while falling behind by 20 points. Drake will host Kansas City coming up on Wednesday night. Iowa State sophomore guard Tyrese Halliburton has been named Big 12 Player of the Week after averaging 13.5 points and 13 assists in 2 games last week. The Oshkosh, Wisconsin native also contributed 7 rebounds and 4 steals while shooting 52.4% from the field and 40% from behind the arc. Halliburton opened the season with 12 points, 14 assists, and 7 rebounds, along with 6 steals against Mississippi Valley State. He followed that up with another double-double, going for 15 points and 12 assists, along with 7 rebounds and 2 steals at Oregon State. His 12 assists without a turnover at Oregon State tied a school record. Halliburton and the Cyclones return to action tonight as they'll host Northern Illinois. Well, the state's top basketball prospect for the class of 2020 made his decision on where he wants to play college ball on Monday in a ceremony at Oskaloosa High School. Xavier Foster announced he'll be signing with Iowa State University. Foster had previously announced that his choice was between Iowa State and Iowa. And Monday, the lifelong Hawkeye fan chose the Cyclones because of what he sees as a better fit. Foster is currently ranked the number 59 player in the class overall by 24/7 Sports, making him one of the highest-rated prospects to sign with ISU. The 7-footer plays like a stretch four-man. His size obviously is advantageous inside, but he can also shoot the three. Foster's addition to the Cyclones 2020 class brings it up to number 14 nationally. Unranked Winthrop has pulled off one of its more stunning regular season victories in recent history. Chandler Vaudrin registered 19 points, and Josh Ferguson had 14 points and 7 rebounds as the Eagles knocked off number 18th-ranked St. Mary's, 61-59 on the Gales' home court. D.J. Burns added 12 points for Winthrop, which improved to 2-1. Jordan Ford had 22 points and 6 rebounds for the 1-1 Gales, but he missed a shot in the final second. Kentucky has climbed to number 1 in the AP Top 25 Men's College Basketball poll. The Wildcats came away with 64 of 65 first-place votes by opening the season with a win over previous number 1 Michigan State before downing Eastern Kentucky. Duke climbed 2 spots to number 2 after beating Kansas in the Class 6's other Top 4 matchup. The Spartans dropped to 3rd. They're followed by Louisville and Kansas, North Carolina, Maryland, Gonzaga, defending champion Virginia, and Villanova round out this week's Top 10. Iowa State will be looking for a better start on Saturday when the Cyclones host Texas. In Big 12 losses to Baylor, Oklahoma State, and Oklahoma, the Cyclones were forced to bounce back after slow starts.
I think every game you want to get off to a great start, but what if you don't, you know? And so I think from our end of it, it's just continuing to clean up the little things that, that we continue to work really hard to correct. And you know, I think that's got to be our greatest emphasis this week.
That's ISU coach Matt Campbell, who lauded the play of safety Greg Eisworth in the loss at Oklahoma. Eisworth has battled through knee and shoulder injuries this season.
Especially when you're an elite player and you're not 100%, that can be frustrating. And, you know, I think one of the things that makes Greg really special is not only is he an elite player, he's an elite leader. He's an unbelievable human. And I think what Greg has had the ability to do is be that great leader through this entire process.
Campbell says Eisworth has remained positive despite a frustrating string of injuries.
That's what makes him really special, and I think really kind of defining of us. How do you, you know, respond when things aren't going well, and Greg's not going well is his health. But he's just had the ability to continue to persevere, fight through it, and be there for our team both on and off the field.
At Iowa State, Texas game at 2:30. Kickoff on Saturday. Well, the Seattle Seahawks are back in the hunt for the NFC West title after dealing the San Francisco 49ers their first loss of the season. The Seahawks picked up their second straight overtime win as Jason Myers nailed a 42-yard field goal to complete a 27-24 victory over the Niners. Myers provided the winning boot after Chase McLaughlin missed a kick earlier in the overtime. McLaughlin sent the game into OT by hitting a 47-yard field goal with 1 second left in regulation. Russell Wilson atoned for his interception early in overtime by scrambling 18 yards on 3rd and 3 to prolong that winning drive. Wilson was 24 of 34 for 232 yards and a touchdown for the 8-2 Seahawks, who are within one game of the division-leading 49ers. Chris Carson ran for 89 yards and one touchdown on 25 carries for Seattle. Jadeveon Clowney returned a fumble 10 yards for a touchdown late in the first half after San Francisco built a 10-0 lead. That fumble began a string of 21 straight points for Seattle, but the 49ers began to chip away when DeForest Buckner broke back a fumble 12 yards after a fourth quarter score. Niners quarterback Jimmy Garoppolo completed 24 of his 46 passes for 248 yards, one TD, and one interception. San Francisco was the last team to lose a game this season. In other NFL news, the Washington Redskins have named rookie Dwayne Haskins their starting quarterback for the rest of the season. Haskins is set to make his second NFL start on Sunday against the Jets as the team comes off its bye week. The 15th overall pick out of Ohio State is 27 of 44 for 284 yards. With no touchdowns and 4 interceptions in 3 appearances, Washington is 1-8 on the season. Former Lions wide receiver Charles Rogers has died. A woman who identified herself as Kathy Rogers, his mother, confirmed the death on Monday. It was not immediately known where the 38-year-old Rogers died or the cause of death. A former high school coach tells ML Live that Rogers died of liver failure and also had cancer. Well, the Baseball Writers Association of America has begun to dole out its postseason individual honors, beginning with the American and National League Rookies of the Year. Astros designated hitter Yordan Alvarez has been unanimously chosen as the AL Rookie of the Year. The 22-year-old Cuban received all 30 first-place votes after hitting .312 with 27 homers and 78 RBIs, despite playing only 87 games after he came up in June. Alvarez is the third Astro to win the award, following teammate Carlos Correa in 2015 and Hall of Famer Jeff Bagwell in 1991. Orioles left-hander John Means was second in the balloting, just ahead of Tampa Bay Rays infielder Brandon Lowe. New York Mets first baseman Pete Alonso is the National League Rookie of the Year after leading the majors with 53 home runs while hitting 260 with 120 RBIs. He broke the Major League record for rookie home runs set by New York Yankees outfielder Aaron Judge in 2017. The player, known as the Polar Bear, is the sixth Met to claim top National League rookie honors, joining Tom Seaver, John Matlack, Daryl Strawberry, Dwight Gooden, and teammate Jacob DeGrom. Alonso received 29 of 30 first-place votes, while Atlanta pitcher Mike Soroka picked up the other first-place vote. San Diego's Fernando Tatis Jr. was third in the balloting. That's a look at sports this hour. I'm Jim Field, KJAN Sports.